Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the Sleep Deprivation Institute's secret underwater headquarters somewhere off the coast of Iowa, it's the man dedicated to keeping the internet completely wired. This is Which Goes Off with Widget Walls.
Friends are dead. Not what it used to be. Now you'll never have a place like home to rest your head.
Hello, hello, and hello. This is Widget Walls, and you are listening to Widge Goes Off here on QuickStopEntertainment.com. So this is, I believe, episode 15, which is kind of terrifying. I never thought I would be doing this again, and here I am on episode 15. I kind of thought we'd get canceled six episodes in, but, you know, bandwidth is cheap, I guess. So to all my 3 to 5 listeners, I say hello. How are you? I hope you had a lovely week. Hope you are embarking on another lovely week, or at least can smile and pretend through the shitstorm. So let's jump right into it, shall we, and talk about the box office. Okay, Departed comes in at number one with $27 million, and not really a surprise there because, I do want to see the film. I'm not going the first weekend, though, because, you know, I hate people, and people have a tendency to mob things on the first weekend, so. And I know everyone talks about, oh, well, just go, you know, at 10 or 11 o'clock, you know, they have the 10, 11 o'clock early matinees, and to them I just say, who are you talking to? So, but anyway, so The Departed looks good, and it did $27 million, cost $90 to make, so they got a ways to go. But, it's Oscar fodder, so we'll see what happens with that. Texas Chainsaw Massacre comes in at number two with $19 million, just a little over $19 million. And of the two of these films, which is the big winner? Well, it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre because it's already done in gross over than its budget, which is $16 million. So, there you have it. It's a smaller film. They made less money, and yet they've made back their amount. And, you know, that's not, they'll probably have, I would think, healthy box office through, they'll at least get into the black before they leave. And then you've got, you know, rentals. So, although this begs a question, which I'm curious about. Because after seeing the trailer for Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and all laugh aside about why they had to go with a prequel. But, is it just me or does it look like the same goddamn movie over again? So, you know, we've seen this before where there are sequels, and it's basically sequels, prequels, whatever, and it's pretty much the same story with different characters. Now, I'm wondering how many people fall for that? I mean, was the story that good to begin with that you know, you want to reuse it? Or does the studio, and this is actually, I'm probably answering my own question, is that the studios actually understand that people aren't as interested in the quality of things. They just want to see a X type of movie, right, where they may or may not know the outcome. And like I said before, especially with this being a prequel, it wouldn't, you know, you weren't going to have any surprises, you know. So you're not going to have some great reveal that, like, Leatherface is really Arlie Ermey's former conjoined twin or something crazy like that. It's just not going to happen. So, I'm curious about that. How often are they going to be able to get away with it? And the answer is probably pretty damn often. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre, this new franchise, go direct to video. I mean, it only makes sense. They can make these monies on the cheap. And you know, you could actually make a decent franchise out of it without having to go back and now do, since you can't really go forward and tell another story, and it would be kind of dumb to tell the same story between movies one and two, between a prequel to the original, remake that's a sequel to the prequel. It just gets too confusing. Now you could do Texas Chainsaw Massacre Babies. Now that would be fun, wouldn't it? Texas Chainsaw Massacre Babies, where it's all the same brutal characters, but they're infants, right? So they're running around, and Leatherface has got a chainsaw that's My First Chainsaw from, like, Sony, right? And he's running around with that. And then you've got the Arlie Ermey character, and he's a baby, and he's screaming. And like, what he does is he goes outside, right? And he's waiting for little kids to ride by on their tricycles. And he makes the tricycles capsize, you know? So and then he drags them into the nursery, and then they dismember them. Okay, maybe that's not such a good idea, but I mean, it's fun to think about, isn't it? But we'll keep that between the two of us. Texas Chainsaw Massacre babies, you know, I want to see the plush toys that come out of that. You know what I'm saying? And I don't even want to think about what Leatherface is making his mask out of. Do you? Oh darn! I just made you think about it, didn't I? I'm such a bastard. Oh, anyway, what was I doing? Oh yes, hi, welcome to Witch Goes Off. Open season comes in at number 3, and it dropped only 32%, which is actually surprisingly healthy. Anytime that, and you know, longtime listeners know this, anytime that longtime people who have watched the box office, anytime you drop less than 50% in your second weekend, those are what passes for legs these days. So Employee of the Month comes in at number 4 from Lionsgate. It's done $11 million, and again, it cost 12 to make, so they're in good shape. The Guardian drops 46%, not bad, to just under, you know, a little over $9.5 million. And it's done 32 to date. Jackass number 2 is the big winner from the top 10. It made another $6.4 million in its third weekend. And it's done 62, almost $63 million so far. It only cost $11.5 million. They're making money hand over fist. Again, they're working on number 3 right now, I swear to God. And then you've got, you know, the inevitable DVD release, and then the special edition DVD release. Then you've got Jackass 1 and 2 in the box set with, you know, release. And then you've got Jackass 1 and 2 in the box set with the bonus disc, right? So they're, God, what a great franchise for them. I mean, it's not my thing to watch people get, you know, like almost mauled and shit. But, you know, rock on, you know, more power to them. I mean, they must know something I don't, because they're making more money than me. But then again, that includes 5 billion people across the world. School for Scoundrels drops to number 7 with a 60% fall, which is kind of sad considering it, you know, with 3.4 million, do the math in your head. I can't, but I'm sure you can. That means that they didn't have that far to fall. Gridiron Gang drops to number 8 with another 50% drop, and it's done 36 million against 30 million of its budget. It will do well on video, as we've talked about before. Fearless drops all the way to number 9 with another 2 million, and The Illusionist drops to number 10 with 1 million. And it is, Illusionist at least, is in the black because it cost 16.5 and did 34. So all of that, of course, is from Box Office Mojo, which, you know, if you need to know anything about box office, I wish they had more data than they did for old stuff, but then again, I don't know who keeps that data. But as far as doing analysis and stuff like this, they're excellent. In fact, my favorite thing, and the reason why I'm a subscriber to the site, is because you can actually adjust the page for inflation. So these dumbasses who say, oh, you know, this recent film is like hit the top 10 grossest, you know, biggest grossing movies of all time. No, it hasn't. Not, you know, sure, if you want to compare apples to apples, then you adjust the dollars for, you know, 2006 dollars, and then you see that, you know, Gone with the Wind is like $1.2 billion worth of, you know, box office. So, anyway, Box Office Mojo is excellent shit. Okay, so what else do we have to talk about? Well, a couple things. First of all, the suit against LimeWire, which I think is fascinating. They have decided to countersue against the RIAA, citing basically, you know, antitrust. So, this is what, let's see, part of the counterclaim, and I'm reading this from the Recording Industry versus the People blog, which I'll try to put a link up to. But basically, they're saying, the case is but one part of a much larger modern conspiracy to destroy all innovation that content owners cannot control and that disrupts their historical business models. Now, I agree with that wholeheartedly. But, you know, I have to say that if you bring the toys to the party, they're your toys. And I've said this before, but basically this kind of illustrates where we need to go with this, is that folks are on one side or other of the debate, and really where we need to be, as with most things, is towards the middle. There's a middle ground by which everybody can be happy. And what we, the consumers, need to do is, instead of going to LimeWire and grabbing stuff that, you know, isn't ours, okay, And I, you know, I've seen a couple of people writing about this, that they feel that we are, that consumers have decided that they are entitled to this stuff for free, which really they're not. But, you know, they've decided it's not worth paying for is basically what it is, which is probably accurate. But, I mean, because, you know, if you think about it, when was the last album that you bought that you liked every track on? I can think of maybe two or three in the last year. But all of that to say is that the way for the consumers to take care of this is not through the courts. Because, you know, if you've been around and are aware of what's going on, you know that government is probably the last place you want to turn for anything. Government is good for about one thing, and that's blowing shit up. If you need shit blown up, like, right away, you know, if you want something ruined, then government is the right place to go. So it blows my mind that even after all of the evidence that we have that government can hardly do anything right, that people run to government to fix things. And these are the same people who talk about how government fucked something up on one hand. And they don't seem to understand, guys, it's the same goddamn government, okay? It's not like, you know, they seem to think it's like, to work on something that Bill Hicks was talking about, I think the puppet on the left has my view, I think the puppet on the right has my view. Basically, it's the same puppeteer working both puppets. So I don't know how you're expecting, you know, different results. It's kind of like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Basically, if you think that the government can help you with this shit, you're insane, is what I'm saying. The way to fix all this is to simply give your money to people who don't want to control things, who aren't afraid of this, who understand that the future is here and want to embrace it and figure out how to make money off of it, than to try and control a failing business model. Now, that being said, and speaking from a website that basically operates at a loss because, you know, I tried to, and I'll be perfectly frank with you because this is Widge Goes Off and this is me going off. You know, we tried a donation model and we couldn't, you know, we had some lovely people donate, but not enough. And then it just tapered off and there's nothing. So people seem to think that, again, they're entitled, that all of this stuff is just out there and it doesn't cost them any money. So therefore it's not worth anything. And, So they're going to be in for a rude awakening when some of their favorite sites, grow to the point where the time that it takes to keep them up and running is just too much and the place collapses. And, you know, well, then what are you going to do? You fall back on people with their individual blogs. But that's what they found is that, you know, people will do this stuff for free. So I guess, you know, we're all out of business. We're fucked. That's why I've said before and I've said it again, don't become a webmaster. It will just swallow your soul. But anyway, the best thing to do is to support people who give you what you want the way that you want it. And when all of these other bastards see that your money is being funneled into places and people and companies that want to give you what you want, how you want it, when you want it, they're going to wake up and realize that they've got to do the same thing or they're going to die. So, you know, my take on it is don't go to LimeWire and download shit illegally. Why would you? There's so much music out there that's good. That people, I mean, Christ, if you go to MySpace, there's MySpace sites set up by the bands where you can download their stuff. They're not asking for anything. You know, I'm sure they would like a donation or two, but they're giving away stuff for free. Shit, Jonathan Colton is, you know, just wrapped up his Thing a Week thing where he was giving out, you know, he had an RSS feed where you could download a free song every week. So there are people out there who deserve your money. Okay, and I'm not even talking about, you know, like me and stuff like that. There's people out there who deserve your money, and you should throw coin at them. So next time that you go to spend money on something, ask yourself, you know, is this something that I really want to support or not? And would I be best served in the long run by giving my money to someone else? And that's the other thing, too, is that people seem to have lost any kind of long-term thinking these days. They don't seem to think about the consequences of their actions in the long term, but that's a completely different rant that has nothing to do with anything. So that, all of that being said, good luck, LimeWire. You're going to fucking need it. Now, let's see, what else do I want to talk about? Oh, something else really strange here, and I never thought that this would happen, is that I'm finding myself agreeing with George Lucas, who, you know, this past week basically said he was getting out of the movie business, kinda, and trying to go into television. And what does he say? I'm looking at the Variety article right here. What does he say? Where is it? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, two paragraphs here. Spending $100 million on production costs and another $100 million on P&A makes no sense, Lucas said. For that same $200 million, this is a direct quote, for the same $200 million, I can make 50 to 60 two-hour movies. That's 120 hours as opposed to 2 hours. In the future market, that's where it's going to land because it's going to be all pay-per-view and downloadable. And I agree with him from the standpoint of basically your, I mean, first of all, it's just, it's, let's see, where is it? Oh, one more paragraph here. Direct quote. If you don't do very many movies and you're really lucky and you really know what you're doing, you can get away with it. But you know at some point you're going to lose a game. So it's pretty, you're putting all your eggs in one basket by putting out $150 million film that isn't guaranteed an audience. And that's exactly what he's saying, which is what I'm saying. And I think, what's that? Oh, yes, I hear fish raining from the sky as the world is coming to a fucking end because I'm agreeing with George Lucas. Actually, I was saying this first, and you heard it here, and so George Lucas is agreeing with me. Take that. So anyway, first of all, you know, I applaud him for saying this. I don't think anyone's going to fucking listen to him, at least until he demonstrates, you know, until he puts his money where his mouth is and makes even more fucking money than ever before. Because, I mean, you know, nobody thought that you needed to hang on to the toy licensing rights until Lucas came back and went, fools, and just basically made shitloads of money. So people will watch him to see if he succeeds in this. But I mean, as they point out in the article, he's still got Indy 4. He's got an animation wing at Lucas that's working on doing feature films. So that's why I said kinda. He's not really getting out of the film business. And I'm sure if something comes along that he wants to do, he's going to do it. But you know, I think it's best that he diversifies because maybe, here's the other thing too, something to look forward to, is that if he is doing 50 to 60 two-hour movies, there's no possible way that George Lucas himself can get in there and fuck them all up. So we might actually see some good stuff coming out of Lucasfilm again. Isn't that something to look forward to? So, you know, I'm really kind of startled at the fact that he's saying this, but, and again, we're going to have to wait and see if he actually does this because, I mean, he's said it before. I still believe that we're going to see episodes 7 through 9. It's only a matter of time. I believe that we're going to see other films from him. And you know, he said before, was it episode 0? And he's had all these various ideas that he just throws out there. And, you know, I can't tell if he's doing it just to hear himself talk or if he likes the attention or all of the above or if he really is honestly developing all of these ideas. I mean, he's got the money to, Christ. So, but I just think it's fascinating that somebody is actually coming out and saying it. Now, if you had, you know, someone else coming out and saying this, like if Jim Cameron were to come out and say this, then I'd believe Jim Cameron. You know, if Robert Rodriguez was to come out and say this, I'd believe the hell out of Robert Rodriguez. But then, of course, you know, one thing is Jim Cameron does make, you know, films that are $150 million budget. And Robert Rodriguez could probably make 15 films off of, you know, $150 million budget. So, you know, a little bit of unbalance there in my own comparison. But and speaking of Cameron, I wish the fuck he would make another movie. Am I the only one who feels that way? I mean, I'm waiting. I mean, I'm glad that he's made 15 documentaries about the Titanic and been underwater and shit. But I mean, can we please have another movie, Jim? I mean, come on, man. It's time. We need you to come, and I want you to come and personally kick my ass through the back wall of the cinema. Is that so much to ask? I'm asking you. But yeah, that's about it. That's about all I want to talk about this week. We'll let you get out of here early. Please hang out for a quick stop. As you can see, they've just posted the Venture Brothers single, an exclusive, and I understand there's some other exclusive stuff that's coming. Hardest working men in showbiz here at Quick Stop. Of course, please come and check out Need Coffee. We've got some other stuff going up there as I've gotten over being sick, and I'm trying desperately to catch up as well as fight off my ever-encroaching day job virus. So it's entertaining. It's kind of like a sitcom, except ultimately wrong, and with no commercials, because no one would possibly advertise on it. So anyway, that's it. If you've got any comments or suggestions or whatnot, please feel free to give me a shout. I can be reached at widgesucks@needcoffee.com. and all feedback is encouraged, and read, surprisingly, and, you know, usually replied to even. So anyway, thanks for coming out, of course, and we will talk to you next week. Have a lovely week, and be sure to come check out Need Coffee's podcast tomorrow for the heads up, and also Friday for Weekend Justice. And same Widge time, same Widge channel for next week. All right, I'm out of here. Be good.